No police force. Had all those following. He's the leader now of nations, not one, but more than just Arabia, enforcement outside of Arabia. And he did not establish a police force. How did they manage? Their hearts were right. They had been purified. Their faith was strong. Their love was strong for one another. A love was strong for the new idea. And they didn't need a police force. And one reported that one man was behaving in a very ugly way. And Muhammad the Prophet said, you all witnessed that? What did he do about it? He told him each one that witnessed that and did nothing, they shared in the crime of that person because they saw it and did nothing. Once he was told, once he spoke of speaking, Muhammad, the prophet, and he said, help your brother, whether he's in the right or in the wrong. They said, how do we help our brother when he's in the wrong? He said, help him by holding him back from the wrong. If we would live really with true love for one another, we wouldn't need police in our neighborhood. We wouldn't. But because we beat up on each other in the house, on the streets, nowhere else, we got to have police around. But if we had the love for the ideal life that God wants us to have on this planet, if we had that love, the police would start moving out. They say, you don't need to be here. They'll start moving out. So what I'm saying is what Muhammad achieved is not something that's impossible for us today. It's as real and as possible for us today as it was in his time. We want peace, but we want a peace for intelligent human beings and for intelligent human society. We don't want a citizen's peace. We want a soldier's peace. And all of us are supposed to be soldiers for God when we have to. Isn't that what God asked us to be? Soldiers for him when we have to. Yes, this is not a maniacal jihad. This is a rational jihad. Jihad is supposed to be rational, not insane. It's rational. And jihad is for good ends, never for a bad end, always for good ends. And war, even in war, the Muslim is required to keep his humanity. He's required to keep his intelligence. He's required to keep his human sensitivity, even in war. If we just would study the history of war in the time of our prophet, where he forbid mutilation of a body. He forbade that anybody kill in excess or mutilate another body. He required that the soldier fight with the sharpest sword so that they don't mutilate or bang up people. But the cut is strict and as painless as possible. This is Muhammad the Prophet. A man that even required of his army that they fight as a human being, not as a savage or a beast or wild animal. We have to come back to the real Islam. The world of Islam have lost the real Islam. Thank you very much. Peace be unto you.
Assalamu alaikum. Imam Muhammad will now take questions. He has two microphones in the aisle, and he has said that he will take questions for as long as the talk, which say we have about 45 minutes. So we would ask you to be orderly, line up behind the microphones, have your questions ready, and we will close out in a dua. So anybody has questions? I know you got some questions.
Take them.
Let's get going.
Concerning the collective purchasing conference, your business aspect of your leadership in Philadelphia, we're looking to bring some productivity here to Philadelphia. What would be your suggestion? Should I come up closer?
I'm not hearing it too clearly. Maybe if you speak more, put your mouth a little closer.
Yes, sir. What would be your advice to us here in Philadelphia as to how to bring an investment group together for collective purchasing for the CPC Comtrust?
Well, we have to look to our religion and see what our religion says about that. Muhammad the Prophet taught us that whenever we have a task, something to be carried out, to do or be carried out, it requires more than one person to do it. Make one person an emir, put one person in charge. So you're talking about all of our centers and all of our members of our Muslim community here in Philadelphia area.
Yes, sir.
You need to find a person that can be your chairman or something that all of you all support.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I think I have a pretty good understanding of Islam because of your leadership. Now, why do you think Islam is so chaotic? It's a very peaceful religion. Why is it so chaotic now?
Yes, the war, fighting
over in Iraq and Iran, now it's the United States and Iraq, and it really hurts. So can you give me an idea
what
you think?
You're saying. Well, when you look at the news, you hear all the bad things. Understand that there's a lot of good going on at the same time. At the same time, there's a lot of good going on, not just bad. There's a lot of good going on. I'm in the circle of leaders from America and from around the world. Muslims, but not some of them, not many of them are not Muslims. And so I'm seeing the good that's happening as well as hearing the bad that's happening. There's much good happening all around the world. This is not a bad time for Islam. This is a good time for Islam. A lot of good is happening. But you won't find it on the news. It's not going to be on the 6 o'clock news. You only see the bad. You get the trouble already. And, yes. Now, we still have to ask ourselves that question. Because there is a lot of confusion, disunity. Muslims not caring about each other. We love one another. We still have love. Most Muslims, I don't care what color or where they're from, most Muslims, they have love for Muhammad. They have love for God, first of all. They have love for Allah. They have love for Quran. They have love for Muhammad the Prophet. And they have love for human beings. But when it comes to having the society right, we're missing big. Missing big. Our societies are not right, but our hearts are ready. We just don't have the leadership. I think the fault, the blame is on our leadership. Our leaders are not just qualified to deal with the realities of this morning, of this time, this present time, and pull people together so that they join in the fight for humanity, not just in the fight for ourselves as a people or as a race or as a religion. We have to join in the fight for humanity. The big cause is now on the drawing board. The big cause. When the big cause is not on the drawing board, then we could deal with these small causes. But now the big cause, right there and facing all of us, we have to look at it. Humanity is what we have to look at now. state of humanity, state of human life all over the world. That's what we have to look at. And our leaders should be sensitizing their following with the Quran, if you're a Muslim, with the Quran and the life of Muhammad, so that we see the human picture is number one. Then comes, after the human picture, then comes my national picture. Or then comes my racial image. The human picture is number one. God says that He is the one who gave you your picture when you were in the womb of your mother, when you were in the stomach of your mother. That's what God says. And He says, and He made your picture most beautiful. He didn't say pictures. He made your picture most beautiful. So what God is saying is this. That yes, He made you different colors and different races, and He made you different nations. Yes, He made you all of that. And you should take that to heart and cherish that. That's your life. But He made you firstly human. No one is born from the mother an African or a Chinese or Asian or European. You're born human. And the environment connects you with history, your family, Africa, and all that. That child can be taken straight from mama and put anywhere else and become Japanese, French, Spanish, depending on the language that it learns and whoever cares for it, right? So that tells us we are human first, and I see it as clothing, you know. God made me human first. That's my naked self. The naked self is human. And then I clothe my human life with my African-American life. I clothe it with my American life. That means the national life, America, the national life. I clothe it with all these clothing. But if the clothing becomes more important than what I'm clothing, the human life, all of it becomes trash. So this is what God wants us to know. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum assalam.
Brother Nas, could you tell the audience the true meaning and the understanding of this whole homeland security? Because I don't think they have the right conception of it. The old saying goes, if you love what Hitler did, you're going to be crazy about what Bush did. Can you give you any light on that, or what you know of?
If you love...
In other words, homeland security in Germany. You know what it's all about.
If you love... What? I didn't get that.
I said, can you tell the audience the true meaning of the homeland security that's coming about in America?
Homeland security?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I don't know if I know more than you know about that.
Well, I can tell you what I know.
I tell you. Well, then, let me respond, but I just want you to know that I might not be knowing exactly what you know, you see. But I know that if Muhammad the Prophet was living today on earth, I don't think he'd beat up on anybody before he beat up on some Muslims. He would first get his own house in order. It is not in order. He would bring the Muslims back. He called Muslims back to the Muslim life and back to the model human that God wants us to be on this planet Earth. That's what he'd be doing. And believe me, he'd have armies going into Muslim land. This is not to justify or to say I'm pleased with what President Bush has asked for. I prayed hard and I pleaded that this wouldn't happen. But now that we are in war, at war, I'm recalling not so much what Bush is doing as I'm recalling what Saddam does. and he put innocent citizens up as human shields, put them in the way of the military and military equipment that he knows is being targeted. Destruction. He put innocent human lives there to be killed, so Bush will be blamed for killing them. But who put them there? I'd rather take defeat than to put innocent family members of somebody's family members in the way of fire. Or people I don't like, maybe some terrorists or something, put them in the way of fire. I wouldn't do that. So the man has lost his humanity. He has lost his good human nature. And he should be removed. I want to make that clear to all of you.
Oh, yeah.
So I wish that it could be done as swift as possible with the minimum cost of life to our soldiers and also to the Iraqi people. We love them like we love ourselves. But I'm not for accepting that dictators dictate life with no respect for the Quran and no respect for the model human Muhammad and have a different idea, Ba'ath Party idea. That's not Islamic, but that's what's in Iraq, the Ba'ath Party. And then he wants us to accept him as he's going to be our deliverer. He's a deliverer for Muslims, but he hasn't even respected the Quran. To have the Quran as his highest idea. So where is he getting his guidance for his own behavior? He's not getting it from the Quran. He's not getting it from the life of Muhammad. Peace be upon him. I just want to make that clear.
This is more an update than a question, Brother Imam, just to let you know that the students from Syria have arrived home safely.
Oh, thank you very much.
And we come with greetings and love from Sheikh Nasoro, and he also sends you a letter.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I hope to meet with you all soon, inshallah. All right.
Thank Allah for your return.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam.
Alaikum assalam.
My name is Neon Shams again. I've been blessed to be a follower of your leadership. Thank you. Took over leadership from your father. And I'm glad that I got a chance to get up because your answers are so clear. By the time I got up here, you might have answered my question already. I'm going to mention it anyway because it may be some other believers in Philadelphia area and you might have the same thought, idea, or question. And it's about multiple numbers of Muslims in the city of Philadelphia and what we might be able to do to bring about some unity rather than being splintered all over the Delaware Valley and the surrounding areas and build up some grassroots following. If you look at the spectrum of it on the micro and macro level, no other communities of Muslims in the city other than the ones who follow your leadership have a national outreach. Maybe the community that follow up, but the man to mill up, other else is just splintered. And I was around fortunate enough to see it develop. And I just wanted to ask you what kind of comment and could you address some of the leaders that you think that answered that question already and share that with the believers how we should continue to move on and trust Allah and grow in unity as one community and one body.
Yes. And in the Quran, we are told that Muslims conduct their affairs by mutual consultation. Surah Bainahum. By mutual consultation. My advice is, and I'm saying this because I have knowledge and experience in this community. In America as an African-American Muslim, or as a Muslim African-American. I have knowledge and experience. I know problems we've had in our society, our circle of believers, And I know problems outside of our circle and other organizations, even for immigrant Muslims. We are to conduct our affairs by mutual consultation, and we are to try to select the best in character and the best in ability, or the best in mind or knowledge and resources. We are to select those persons, males and females, for community achievement, to see something for the community. We have to include females too. Select our best people, and then discuss it. And select one to be the convener, or the chairman. That'll be the elite, getting someone to have a charge. Give someone charge. And that person who has charge, that person should realize he is there to facilitate the others, whatever they have to offer. He is to help bring to the forefront the best. The best offers, the best offers of help, the best mind, the best ideas, the best plans. He is to just facilitate that. He's not there to dictate. He shouldn't be there to dictate. So if you want to kill the chance of you having a consultative group that will respect one another, shura bainahum, consulting with one another, that they will respect. If you want to assure that you won't have that, put that dictator in charge. You're not going to have that. And you have to be careful of who you select, but that's what you have to do. That's the only way God is going to bless us. When we respect one another, respect our resources, respect our intelligence, respect our education, respect our professional skills, knowledge and skill, etc. So respect the resources in each other and bring the best forward. And make sure that the one you give authority to is not one that's going to abuse that authority. He's not there to have authority. He's there to serve. He's not there for you to look at him. He's there to serve. That's what you want. And if you don't have it, pray for it. And God will give it to you.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam.
Thank you. Thank you. Alaikum assalam.
My name is Yusuf B. Karim from Philadelphia. I thank Allah for giving me the opportunity to come into Islam. It helped me out a lot. I had the opportunity to spend 5 years in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
In Atlanta, Georgia, the population, the community is growing, and it makes you feel as though you're a real human being.
Yeah.
Putting your clothes on, like you said earlier.
All right.
But here in Philadelphia, when I come back here, I get to see I came through with a whole lot of brothers and sisters here. I love Philadelphia. And I hope to be here for the rest of my life, inshallah. But what I don't understand is that we have a school. I had 3 children that graduated from our school here in Philadelphia. And because we have attitudes that we don't like each other, we're letting our school die. That school was named after a great person, Sister Claire Muhammad. What can we do to stop our school here in Philadelphia, the Sister Claire Muhammad School, from dying?
You have the answer. You just have to do what you have to do.
I accept that.
I know. I know you have the answer. Okay. You have to do it.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam.
Alaikum assalam.
I have a question I would like your advice or thoughts on Muslims who serve in the military.
Yes.
Given the war in Iraq, what are your thoughts and also advice regarding Muslims that are serving in the military?
You know, people fight for what they value. And we value the life that we have here in America, the freedom we have here in America. We value the opportunity we have our own schools and to work out our own future here, a Muslim future for ourselves. So that's very important. that's very valuable. If we have that on this land with these good American people, then we should be willing to not to have them go and die for it alone, but we also must be willing to die for it. I believe in respecting the sacredness of land. Our first father, God, gives us as Adam. He gave him responsibility to God, but for the environment that God put him in. We, as descendants of that first father, all of us, whether we are enlightened to have that knowledge or not, all of us have inherited the responsibility that God assigns to a human being in his good, right mind, for not only his personal life, but also for the environment where he lives. So land is sacred. And I tell my children, I say, you when you walk out there, don't just see the city of Chicago. See your share of it. Every citizen has a share. Every citizen in Chicago has a share to the city of Chicago or in the city of Chicago. I say, when you see this big world, don't just see the big world. See also your share of it. Because the Creator that made all of it made it for you as well as he made it for all the others. We have to have an attachment, a real serious sacred attachment to the land, to the world that Allah made, or God made, to the world that God made, and realize that this land has been developed by our people as well as by whites and others to the extent that it is developed now, and lots of lives have been lost, blood has been spent, suffering, a lot of suffering for us to have this, what we got now. I will die for it. And I think Muslims should be in the military. Muslims of America have to be in the military. But if you don't have the mind for it, you should at least respect it enough not to join. When you join the military, be sure you have the mind for it. Your spirit is with it, you have the mind for it. If not, don't join. So far, it's still a voluntary army. They're talking about drafting, but that hasn't come yet. So you don't have to be in the military if you don't want to. Your spirit is not with it, your mind is not with it. So you help all of us by not joining the military. But if you have your spirit with it, you feel as I do, that this is a sacred duty, and that we have a life of great value here, that we shouldn't ask others to go and defend, and we not be willing to defend it, then please join the military and be a great soldier for the United States of America and for all good Americans.
Thank you.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of Brother Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.